All right, welcome back. Hour two in the zone. It is Wednesday, and I looked all over the studio, and look who's here.
Wednesdays with Wally is presented by Deltec Timber Corporation, the developer of Little Rock's Chenal Valley and Red Oak Ridge in Hot Springs. Learn more at Chenal.com.
All right. It is time to get into some Razorback stuff, although there isn't a whole lot. Hogs did win yesterday, which was good, in baseball against the Southland Conference opponent. Vanderbilt coming up next. Vanderbilt is a team that is sitting in the middle of the Eastern Division at 7-8. And you want to talk about parity, maybe more so than any other sport, maybe more so than any other year in baseball that I can remember, Wally. The top team in the East is Florida at 9-6. The bottom team is Missouri at 6-9. Alabama's at the top of the West at 10-5. The bottom team is Auburn at 6-9. Those are conference records. That's pretty remarkable. The parity in baseball this year is pretty amazing.
Unless the SEC is just not very good.
Well, but I mean, you've got like five teams that are ranked or six teams that are ranked, so I don't know that that's the case. I mean, you've got...
This doesn't look like a banner year for the Razorbacks.
I think that part is probably accurate, although...
They could get hot.
I mean, look, they're a 500 team basically in conference play against really good competition. This weekend against Vanderbilt would be great to win a couple of games. Arkansas, of course, is hosting, so it would certainly be nice. They play Friday at 6:35. That's a game you'll hear here on the Buzz for First Pitch. Pre-game on Saturdays at 5:30, and Sunday the Hogs and Vanderbilt will round it out with an 11:30 pregame. Bill Vickery, you get off 30 minutes early Sunday, so enjoy that.
Oh, listeners, sure you're welcome.
Sure he will.
The longest winning streak in the here's parity for you. The longest winning streak in the SEC is two games. The shortest winning or longest losing streak in the SEC is two games.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it could not be more...
Parry.
Is paritus a word? The parity is silly in this league right now, Wally. It's incredible how much of... and I don't think it's mediocrity because of the historical relevance of the SEC in baseball. So that's pretty amazing, though.
I know this isn't the time or place, but I just think it's a travesty the way they do scholarships for baseball.
Not now, Wally. That's not the time to... What do you mean by that?
Well, what do they... What, they divide up like 11 three-quarter scholarships among 25 guys?
Yeah, it's very strange how they do it.
It's just not right.
Blame Title IX.
It doesn't make it right.
Well, speaking of NCAA, in a move that was not surprising to any of us, we announced that they were going to talk about it yesterday, which we all hoped meant it was a foregone conclusion that they would pass it. But the NCAA has now opened the door for unlimited food and snacks for full scholarship athletes. It's three meals a day. Before the change, they allowed three meals a day for athletes on full scholarship, but limited snacks, and limited meals for walk-ons on partial scholarships. So the new move, of course, is that they're going to have basically unlimited meals and snacks for scholarship athletes, which is the way it should be.
My question, though, is where is it going to be? Is there going to be a 24/7 place for them to get that? Is it going to be a situation where they can actually find out a monetary value and give, let's just say, off-campus kids that? I'm just curious
That's
how it's all going to shake down.
I'm going to guess they do not have a 24/7 cafeteria thing.
Probably not. It wouldn't make sense.
Can you turn in receipts? I mean, do you get a per diem? Like, I don't know.
Pat, could you, when you were up there and you had dinner and you were leaving, could you take, like, fruit with you to your room?
Oh, yeah.
Could you take anything else, like cookies or?
Could take just about as much as we could handle. I mean, you could take anything you wanted.
You could carry cheeseburgers back to your room and stuff like that?
Yeah, I guess I never really did because I ate as much as I possibly could when I was there. So I never really thought about it.
Smart.
But they were very good.
But they had snacks.
Yeah, there was usually always fruit there. I think, you know, what they've gotten to here recently in the last few years is you go into the men's basketball locker room and they'll have, like, nutrition bars. They'll have a refrigerator with different kinds of drinks, sports drinks for the guys where they can grab before practice, after practice. So that they have done that they hadn't done that in the past. So it makes me think, I know the living situations are where they live in like these quads. So possibly what they may do, I could see them have maybe a refrigerator with pre-made sandwiches, with drinks, with all kinds of different nuts and snacks
good.
And things. And it's all about health. See, I had no idea about like the kind of nutrition that is now implemented into a lot of college programs. We would be just anything we would eat, any kind of snack. I mean, we would be eating. They probably won't put out like maybe some cookies, but we had an ice cream machine in the cafeteria where we could go back, yeah. back and back for different types of things. Which,
see, when I was in school, and this is a little different deal, obviously, because I wasn't a college athlete, but when I was in a fraternity, they would lock the kitchen. And
did
then,
they?
Yeah, they locked the kitchen at night, which was probably good because we didn't want people in there all hours.
But I
didn't have a lot of money. I mean, I paid my own way through school the last few years after the first year. And so, but I could just see how if you had access to some protein bars or granola bars or just something like a little snack like that, it'd be, make all the difference in the world. There's no reason why, especially a college athlete that expends so much energy and time for the good of the university, should have to be hungry.
Small cereal things. You know, you have in the refrigerator, you have different milk or whatever the case may be, and you have the small cereal boxes, stuff like that, that I could see them doing that.
Yeah, if they had little fridges set up in each kid's room and you had the trainer go around and make sure everybody's got what they need.
And you're not going to have a lot of these guys that I think are going to be trying to, you know, scarf down a big meal at midnight or anything like that. I mean, pretty much most of them are.
See, that'll be the next thing. NCAA coaches complaining their players are too fat because of the new rules under the NCAA.
Well, listen, if you provide them with the right kind of stuff, then probably won't have an issue with that, and which I hope it is going to be.
You see what Jared Lorenzen tweeted out?
Whatever. What?
He said it's a good thing I graduated before they instituted this rule or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing, but.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he didn't let a couple dollars get in between him and a hot and ready pizza.
Well, the other thing is, too, and we see this again, we're talking about obese kids around the country, too. The cheapest foods are, in many cases, the least healthy.
Yep. True.
So,
unfortunately,
if I was them, I would not just give the kid an extra $20 a day or an extra $10 a day and say fend for yourself. Like you're saying, I would provide specific things for them to eat.
Well, sure, they'll go
because otherwise it's going to be $5 pizza pit.
Yeah, and then they're going to use the 15 to buy some clothes or another tattoo.
Six pack.
Know, for years and years, it was kind of a tradition at Arkansas. Friday dinner would be, or Thursday dinner would be catfish. Great catfish, and the strength and conditioning coach at Bielemeyer said, not anymore. We're having baked chicken.
Yeah, I could see that.
No, that's a pretty easy change, and you're not going to upset too many people. That's pretty smart.
And I've not tried the chicken, but I smelled it, and it smelled great.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. So, anyway,
I'm glad they did that.
That to me, that. I think this is one where everybody agrees. Whether or not they should pay players is a very divisive issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are other things we need to look at. Should kids be able to unionize, all that kind of stuff. But I think this is one where it's like, look, I have no problem with a kid being able to have, and not just as, you know, a reasonable amount of meals, but just as much as he wants to eat as a college athlete. I mean, that to me is a bare minimum.
I think they should. How do you feel about the pay? I know Matt's against it. Matt Jones is against it.
I certainly think that I seem to flip-flop on this quite a bit because the university obviously offers an incredible platform for these guys. The one thing that I don't think a lot of people pay enough attention to is the amount of energy spent that of a college athlete and listen, there's a lot of guys who put in 4 years, sometimes 5 years of conditioning, everything you can imagine, and dedicates themselves the time that a professional might, but when they get out, they have suffered injuries that don't allow them to pursue what they've been wanting to pursue. And you look back and you say, well, how do you do that? Is it something where maybe you do have something set up to where when they graduate, they can earn something? I just look at a lot of the guys that I know, and I've been very fortunate, obviously, but I look at a lot of the guys that I played with.
It is. You're here. I mean,
yeah,
so.
I know. That's true. Maybe this is a
outside
curse.
Of that. Yes, exactly.
But I just see a lot of guys that I played with who just weren't equipped, and whether they knew it or not, just weren't equipped with what they needed. And you know, now it's almost like I've seen how much they've given, and it just hurts me to see that they either didn't realize they could take advantage of certain things. There's one regret I have, if I could go back, one regret I have is I didn't realize the kind of access that an athlete has to these CEOs of companies, different athletic directors, administrators, to where to really help yourself be set up.
Maybe you should pop into Tyson with your jersey on.
I thought your big regret would be that stop at McDonald's.
I learned a lot from that, Wally.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it.
No doubt.
You know, I have a friend who's a tax attorney, and he played at Arkansas State, started 3 years, played four, and he took his pen and calculator and figured up he got paid 22 cents an hour.
Yeah, well, if I figured up how much time I spend doing this job between thinking about it and working on it and actually being here, I'm probably getting paid similar to that. So that's
right, but you're getting paid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the argument I had.
It's always the debate about the scholarship versus, you know.
My
I would have loved
too,
to have had a free scholarship.
You would have, Justin, but here's the other thing, too, is the ability. You had the freedom to actually have that cash and do what you want with it. And that's the other thing. It's like you're giving guys a lot of things, but they don't have – someone else is making the decision what it is you're buying with supposedly, let's just say, the 22 cents an hour or whatever it breaks down to. I think there's a level of that, too, because there was a lot of things that was offered to me that were paid for by my scholarship that I never needed, I never used.
Like?
Whether it be a particular – something I could do, a particular class or some kind of insurance that I could have. Like, I wore contacts, right? So mm-hmm. I got my contacts free from the university. I got that free. A lot of guys who didn't. Now, would they have wanted to take, let's say, the cost of difference of what was mine? Some kids had conditions I didn't have to worry about. So there was a lot of more freedom and by just not having everybody under the same umbrella.
I've got a simple solution. You pay by grade point. You got to have a minimum of a 2.5, you get $250 a month. You got a 3 point, you get $300 a month. I'm not saying the kids should get rich.
But that, again, the financial ramifications that you cannot play on an even playing field for even Division I universities doing that. There are certain schools that cannot afford to do it.
I understand that. I do.
There are so many different layers to this.
Would you guys be okay with this? Okay, would you be okay with this? Would you be okay with a player being able to accept money to go and speak to certain clubs, organizations, and businesses? And it would be something based on...
as long as there was a cap on it.
$100 to $500, and it was based on whatever the kid agreed to and whatever the outside organization. And it could be controlled by an arm of the university.
It couldn't be, though, because every kid would be speaking every... I mean, it'd be...
Well, no, but you'd get... Let's just say you get, you know, Brandon Allen. I'm sure there's a lot of companies and businesses, organizations, and fundraisers. Just let's just say the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame. Let's say you can pay him... You can fly him down, give him a hotel, and pay him $500 to speak at your dinner or your banquet, or he could say no.
I say no. I'm not okay with it.
I think it's a good idea that won't work.
I think it opens up too many opportunities for. I'd rather they just say, "Hey, boosters, you can kick in an extra $200 and appoint your player,"
and do what?
And appoint which player he goes to. I mean, it'd be just as easy. Well, I mean, it's basically what you're doing.
But that goes back to the whole idea, though. There are some players who are worth more than other players.
Exactly, and you look at
it
that way.
And it's true, though.
Yes, it is. There's no question financially that Johnny Manziel is worth more than the backup left tackle, admittedly. However, when you are an organization like the NCAA or a university like Texas A&M, you have to look at and treat everybody the same, and I know you have an issue with that. But
the NCAA can treat everybody the same. You give everyone the same health care, give everyone the same sneakers, give everybody the same everything except for if you are a more high-profile athlete who is responsible for bringing that profile to the university and an organization, because of your how – popular of a name and face you are, wants to pay you to attract more people to their banquet, to their organization, to their fundraiser.
You know what I'd rather do?
Should be able to pay.
I'd much rather see them set aside an account and say, okay, we're going to give you X percent of memorabilia sales that are connected to you as a your person. So they could have sold Johnny Football t-shirts, Johnny Football jerseys, Johnny Football helmets, Johnny Football sneakers, whatever, and he gets X percent in an account when he graduates, it's sitting there for
upon graduation.
Yeah, upon graduation.
Or just simply...
Or when he leaves to go to the NFL.
Simply go back to the $100 handshake.
Okay, well then how about...
Either way.
Well, that still happens. Well, all right, you take that approach, though. I can see holes in that. If I'm Mike Evans, hey guys, why is it only Johnny Manziel jerseys that you're pushing? Why don't you try pushing some of my number 12s or whatever his number is? Or if you're some of the other guys, say, hey, look at my stats. Why don't you put all my jerseys in your bookstore or on your website?
How about this? Everybody in that guy's class that graduates gets a percentage of it.
Of Johnny Manziel stuff?
Yeah. Not just him.
That's why I like the fact where if you are in demand, because I've been at, when I was at school, I was asked to speak at a lot of places, and I think it was legal. They were able to give me some money, a memorandum, whatever they called it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For my time spent or my travel or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And I took it. It wasn't big. You know, a couple hundred maybe. Now, if you can use that.
You took it?
Well, yeah, because I had to get this somehow. You know what I'm saying?
Look.
But if you took that approach, then you know what? Yeah, I can see. I mean, how can I not appreciate the fact that this kid is actually now getting out there in public and shaking the right hands, doing the right things, and making a little bit of money on the side.
It's a muddy deal. It's hard to deal with. And again,
I see it very clearly. It happens now.
I know you do.
But the thing is, it happens.
You don't look
now.
At it from a corporate environment. You don't look at it from an overall business standpoint. You look at it from the individual athlete standpoint, which is fine.
But, right, but I still don't understand how. There would have to be a business model.
And what's wrong with putting together a business model?
Because I don't think there is.
Well, there isn't a problem with it. But then you're going to get a lawsuit by the female athletes that are not getting any kind of money.
Bingo. But it's different. It's a different arm. It's like this. Okay, we're allowing players now to be able to earn up to $500 a speaking engagement, and you cap it at 10 a year.
Pat, but when you open up that door for speaking engagements to selective players, you're going to have very muddy water.
No, it's not selective. It's anybody.
It's selective players. The guys are going to be interesting. I mean, you're not going to.
Yeah.
Not,
again, and that's part of your value. That's your likeness. That's who you are.
But again, you're
that's
not
part
going
of capitalizing on who you are at the time.
Again,
it's striking while you're hot.
But
and you shouldn't.
You're both right. The school's making money off the athlete, whether it's selling T-shirts or jerseys. And the student athletes get nothing for it.
But you got to strike while you're hot. And I guess in the deep down in the root of it for me is the athlete having the chance to earn while his highest earning potential is.
Did you ever have a summer job while you were there?
Yes. I'd never spent except for one summer there. But I would come back at when I went back home. It was, basketball camps. I worked the Razorback basketball camp.
Did you get paid for that?
Got paid for that.
Yeah, that's good.
But
yeah.
The thing is, Justin, guess who are the only ones that could get paid and do that?
You know what I'm saying? People that do the camps?
Right. It wasn't like they were going to pay a swimmer or a volleyball player to work the Razorback basketball camp.
No, but they might get paid to do a Razorback swim camp.
But yeah. That's exclusive, is what I'm saying. So, you can't. There are things that are only available for a specific athlete to do. And it seems...
You have way oversimplified it in your mind, and I think there are so many different levels. We've had this.
I just think it's a myth.
There is no point in having this conversation more because we're going to come back to the same place every time. You think it's really simple. I think it's way too complex. I certainly think it'd be fine to sit down and delve into it, but you have to look at, again, and you would disagree with this, you have to look at the UALRs of the world and the...
Okay,
North Carolina's the world, and treat it, and they have to be able to...
Let's look at UALR.
You have to... I don't want to look at UALR, because, again, it's way too complex for us to sort out in the next 2 minutes before we have to take our next time
out. I'm just telling you, Will Neighbor, okay,
yeah.
Could be paid $300 to go speak at the tip-in club.
Sure.
Easily.
It's never going to happen.
I got paid $250 to do it. Why can't you pay Will Neighbor $250 to do it?
They paid you $250?
Well, whatever it was, $150.
It's going up.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. 100.
But my point is, why can't he get paid to do it? And you look at the money, and you keep that on record, and you submit it to the NCAA after the end of every semester.
What's the cap he can make?
You name it. $5,000? You name it.
It's not $5,000. It's a lot less than that.
No, you tell me. $2,000? I mean, that's fine. Whatever you want it to be.
If it's $5,500, then you can do away with the Pell Grant for that person if they qualified.
And well, say, don't do away with anything.
Don't do that now, Wally. I need my money.
Well, why would you do away with anything? Why can't you just do as is?
Because that's my tax dollars. I'm trying to pay less taxes.
Well, I understand that, but if you want to pay less taxes, let's start with not taking away the Pell Grant. There's a lot of other things they waste money on other than the Pell Grant.
I mean, this in the most respectful way possible. It ain't going to happen, and we can't sort it out here today.
Nobody has given me a reason why I couldn't.
Okay,
you know what? I am going to... Put it together.
Put it together, and then we'll
I'm
let you present
put it
on
together.
The, I'll let you know we'll base a whole show on it, Pat. But until then, it's just us yammering off the top of our heads, and we keep coming up with one idea that's dumber than the last one.
It's not dumb. You
not you. I'm talking about it in general. We keep. What about if? What about if?
I've thought about
what
it.
What about if?
I'm telling you.
What about if?
How many guys do you know make money off speaking engagements?
A lot.
Post NCAA, Tim Tebow right now makes what? $100,000.
He does no idea.
$120,000 just on speaking engagement. There is a market there that college athletes are in demand because they're hot. This is their time to earn.
If you're paying Tim Tebow $120,000 to come speak
to you. Well, you got some other issues.
Idiot.
Admittedly.
Yes, exactly.
Peyton Manning charges less.
Keith.
I like Peyton.
Keith, are you there?
This is your chance,
my friend. Go for it.
I am here. I played baseball fair from 84 to 87. And like Wally saying, baseball split up into different scholarships. I'm on a quarter. Well, the way we got our spending money, we hauled ice for the football games. We worked concession stands for the basketball games. I mean, that's the only way we had money to spend when we were going up there.
Okay. And that was the 80s, right?
Yeah, 84 through 87.
Is that the same deal now?
No, you can't work. If you're on any type of scholarship, you can't work.
Hmm. Work in the concession stands. That's actually, you know what?
Can't work during the season. You can work in the summertime, yes, or in the non-season?
No, it was during the season. I mean,
But I'm saying now student-athletes can work when the season's not in session, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you
all
can work.
Thanks
in the
for
summer.
The call. It's interesting. I mean, I would have no problem with that. I don't see what the harm would be in letting players things like that on the university. It'd have to be done by someone. But again, you're gonna have to track it all. It's I don't know.
Yeah, Brent, because Kentucky's gonna pay $100 an hour for babysitters.
Brent, exactly.
Yo, what's up, guys?
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. One thing that I think that's kind of gets left under the wash here, and it's something that I started doing research on just to find out what was going on. You guys realize out of 7 billion people on the planet, only 6.7% of those people have a higher education degree. That's 93.3% of the world that these athletes are getting an advantage over, and they don't have to pay anything. And to me, that's one of the things that I see as being left out completely on this. You know, I hear this guy crying that he doesn't have any food. Well, man, I go on mission trips to third world countries. Those people don't have any food. These guys are well-trained athletes. They get full medical. And here's an even more staggering statistic, and this is on the high end. I did this real quick math. It's only 0.0001% of the entire United States population that even is applicable to get a free education because of athletic skills.
Yeah.
And that's on the major paid situation.
But you're changing the argument, Brent. And there's
no, I'm just I'm
well, no, you are. You are changing the argument. You are changing the argument.
No, I mean, here's what I see, Justin, that just drives me nuts, is that the education is completely erroneous in this argument. And it's not. That is actually what started collegiate athletes, was kids going to college playing a game.
No, two things about that. First of all, you've already won the lottery by waking up and being born in America. So yes,
you're right.
So comparing student athletes to third world country kids is a silly argument, because just being born in America, you have a huge leg up over most of the world.
And Harvard wouldn't develop for
athletes. The debate really becomes, and Pat and I have broken it down to this basically: do you feel like a college scholarship? We all agree that the food thing was the right thing to do yesterday. I'm glad that they made that. That's a basic logical move. But do you think that an education is enough for a student athlete? A free education is enough. I am in the camp that says yes. As long as they're getting all the food they need, I think that a free education in exchange for your work as an athlete is a fair trade. Some people would argue that that's not the case. That's what the debate comes down to.
I think with the percentages that I showed you or just told you, and those are legitimate. They're not. Yeah, I found them on the internet. Huffington Post and collegeamerica.edu both had those same numbers on it.
Yes, the information is correct and accurate, I assume, but you have to be able to apply it in a way that makes sense, too.
It does make sense, because you're talking about these kids.
You're talking about third world country kids versus kids that are college athletes.
Even here, Justin, there's only 0.0001% of the population that can even get that. They're just talent.
But again, that's from their God-given talent and the effort they put in to develop those skills. So
right.
Anyway,
so here's the other question that goes on top of that. What is their earning potential if they get a college degree versus somebody that doesn't have one?
It's exponentially
tremendously higher.
Same
so
as ours.
And not to mention the fact that I think another thing that's lost in this whole argument is that these guys are actually going out and they are college athletes, but they're also helping in their way of getting the next generation of college athletes paid to go to school. You know, that's just something that's left in the wash that I think a lot of people forget about. And, you know, hey, it is going to be what it is. I got a feeling that what's going to end up happening is we're going to litigate college sports to the point where people like me that don't like the NFL because of the greed that's showed in there are going to end up not liking college sports, and that's unfortunate.
All right, Brent, thanks for the call. I don't see a lot of greed in college athletes. What I see is them feeling like maybe they're getting shortchanged.
I hadn't brought it up.
Well, I do too. Part of this is – part of the issue is basic needs that are not being met. Right. The food thing yesterday, to me, it seems like a little thing. That should be something that should have been automatic and that's one that everybody agrees on. Let's start with the things that everybody agrees on that are not in place already.
It's a shame.
One of them.
Did you realize that if you looked at exactly what could be offered to a student athlete, just strange stuff like cream cheese couldn't be offered. I mean, just strange, strange thing. You could only allow like fruit bars and, you know, particular nutritional bars and... the whole thing is very strange, although I do think it's a huge myth. And let me tell you something. Everybody who wants to maybe has an issue with NCAA, they throw out players being paid. Players being paid. How are you going to make? I just think it's a huge myth that can be taken care of very easily for the players, but for the players who are really the ones that have a high earning potential. Because, you know, your earning potential, why can't it start at 18 instead of 22?
Okay, it can if you become a professional athlete, because then basically it's the same thing. You're being paid more or you're getting additional benefits because you're better than somebody else.
Let's save this for July.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we need
and I'll have my
I don't mind having
system
an,
set up by
I
then.
Don't mind having an in-depth discussion about it, but I don't like just winging it off the top of my head on a topic we weren't even going to bring up today.
I've thought about that, though, and I think that's a great way for...
Okay. So you want to turn college athletics into pro sports. I got
it. No.
That's what you're saying, basically.
No. Okay. Hey, listen, you should, if that is your earning, like, I mean, we always go back Johnny Manziel, $20,000 to sit at a table with him. He's hot right now. That's high earning potential for him right now.
Lucky for him, he's going to be hot for a while.
Well, you don't know, though. You don't know.
Well, he's going to be hot until he gets drafted, at least, and plays a season. You know, one thing I think all kids should get, plenty of food to eat and plenty of security. You know, we were talking about it this week. John Calipari's got NBA security around his kids when they go on the road. NBA security, keeping those folks off his kids. He said they can't get them on campus.